Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Bet you didn't expect me to say that at this time of the year. At this time of the year, though, we see the resurrection through a whole new light. Beloved in the Lord, I pray that we will never get tired of this message and that we say it to one another throughout the season of our lives, not just the season of Easter. It's a proclamation of truth that restores all mankind and creation from death to life. It's a message that brings hope to a dying world, a world that cannot save itself. It's a message that makes all the difference in the universe. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the whole divine story. Now, the resurrection of Jesus drives the mission of the church. When Jesus was preparing to leave his disciples and to take the sins of the world to the cross in his death, he calls upon the disciples to keep his word. This is how God shows love for his creation. For his word gives life and presence with God. Jesus said to the disciples when he met them after his resurrection, "Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations." That message of the resurrection is sent with the apostles on their way down that dusty road. Now, our reading in Acts begins with Paul in Athens waiting for Timothy and Silas to join him. But you see, he can't wait. The spirit within him is provoked by all the idolatry in the city. People ignorant of the true and living God, enslaved by false gods. And you know the feeling of not being able to wait. You know that feeling. For you just read a good book, and you tell everyone they must read it. Or you go to a good game and you tell everyone, you should have been there. Or you go to a movie, a good movie, and then you go out and you tell everyone, hey, you need to go, it's still playing this week. Paul couldn't wait. He couldn't wait for the arrival of his companions to begin speaking to the people. He has a message of the resurrection of Jesus that drives him forward. It must be told. So Paul preaches the resurrection of Jesus, first to his fellow Jews and those devoted to the faith. For God is known to them, and they wait expectantly for God to save them, although this is not a guarantee that they will trust in Jesus. So first, the resurrection of Jesus drives the mission of the church. And second, the resurrection of Jesus drives away false wisdom. Paul next moves to the marketplace, to the public square. Like Jesus' parable of the great banquet, the servant, Paul that is, go out into the streets and the marketplaces where people gather to call for all to come and to receive life. Paul's call is to proclaim Jesus and his resurrection. Now, the philosophers in Athens overhear this proclamation and they find it strange. And so they use that technical term to describe Paul. He's a babbler. A babbler. You see, the philosophers of the day were Stoics and Epicureans. Now, the Stoics, they looked for God in nature. Nature revealed truth, so if something died, it was for the betterment of the cosmos and was the will of nature. That was the Stoics. Now, the Epicureans, they believed that the gods were materials made of the same building blocks as man. Now, the Epicureans, they did not bother with rituals or observances. Their way to live in harmony with the gods was the pursuit of happiness. So the Stoics and the Epicureans, they labeled Paul a babbler, one who did not know what he was talking about. And yet still, they wished to know more about this teaching. What does it mean? Its implications. So they invited Paul to speak formally at the Areopagus, a place where new ideas were discussed. And Paul used the altar of the unknown God as his starting point to speak about the living God. This God they do not know created all. And since he is the Lord of both the heavens and the earth, there is nothing God needs from us. Rather, he gives. He gives to the Athenians, to Paul, and to you sitting here in the pews today, life and breath and all the things required to sustain them. Paul then alludes to the problem of man's separation from God. The natural man, that is, the old Adam, is like a man groping around in the dark, feeling and searching for God. The seeking is not a virtue, but a symptom of a dead soul devoid of the Word of God. So this illuminates two false ways, still talked about today, two false ways to find God. That's mysticism and rationalism. Mysticism is using feelings and emotions to find God. Rationalism is using reason and logic to find God. Well, not that feelings or reason are bad. God intends them for good. And when used in service to his word, they edify you and your neighbor. But the resurrection makes no sense to these men, so dedicated to their own false wisdom. They thought death was a liberation of the soul from the body. So first, the resurrection of Jesus drives the mission of the church. Second, the resurrection of Jesus drives away false wisdom. And third, the resurrection of Jesus drives you back into the arms of God. Despite the Athenians' foolishness, Paul proclaims that God is not far from them or far from you. Not that they would ever find him by their own groping, for sin has made that impossible. But Jesus' cross has removed the sin that separates us from God and has reconciled us to God. The resurrection announced that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice as sufficient. God is no longer angry with the human race. So now God is where he promises to be for you. In the proclamation of Jesus crucified and raised, in water, in bread and wine, it is there he embraces you. By Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension, he has authority to fulfill all these promises. The proclamation that Jesus is risen means life for you. This is the certainty, the proof. Jesus risen from the dead means that you can be certain that you, being baptized, will also raise to life with him for all eternity. So die, old Adam, and rise, beloved of the Father, to new life. Walk in the new life, proclaiming and assisting his sent ones to proclaim that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now you are the body of Christ, each one of you part of it. Amen. Please